Military Mondays with David Katz. Joining us as he does on Mondays is Major David Katz. We talk military, and this week I wanted to ask him about what on earth is going on in Russia. Anybody who doesn't like the president, it would seem, should be careful about which tea they drink.
Morning, Howard. How are you doing?
I'm doing okay, thank you. So has drinking tea, if you're not a fan of the president, become dangerous in Russia? And is this a war that is being fought within the borders of that country?
Well, look, it's a pretty dangerous country to be living in if you're going to go into opposition to Putin. Certainly with the latest events happening with Navalny and his flight now to Germany. I believe this morning I just saw the latest news that he's out of his coma now and he's on the road to recovery.
That's good.
But there's been other popular leaders that have also succumbed to mysteriously or not so mysteriously to being in strong opposition to Putin. We had Boris Nemtsov shot in proximity of the Kremlin a few years back. And the famous case of Litvinenko, who received that, I don't know, palladium. What did they call it? Palladium or some radioactive treatment.
Our listeners
that
will
took
correct
him out pretty quickly. So it's a dangerous place to be if you're going to go into opposition. That's certainly what the position looks to be.
So what does this mean in terms of Russia's attitude towards any form of opposition? Because if this is happening internally, it means that they've got a pretty tough position to anything external as well.
Well, I think there's a whole lot of history that goes behind this, and we need to understand that before we see what's happening over here. When I visited Moscow, it's the most extraordinary place, I must tell you. Russia and Moscow are just extraordinary places. It's nothing like what you would think it is. It's not Western orientated. It's not Eastern orientated. It stands all by itself. And it feeds off nostalgia. The Russians feed off nostalgia for the superpower that they once were. They feed off the nostalgia of being the one that crushed Germany and Nazi Germany. And they long for that type of nostalgia. And Putin is there only at the behest of people who yearn for this type of nostalgia. That's what he's there all about. He's there to bring Russia back to the forefront in world politics, to make it another superpower. And that's what he's all about, bringing back prestige back to the Russian people. And there's a lot of kickback from the pushback from the younger generation, who, because of Russia's aggressive policies and annexation policies with Crimea and the invasion of Ukraine and and Chechen and those type of areas, the Americans and the West have imposed sanctions on Russia, and the Russian economy is suffering tremendously. And the younger generation are beginning to start pushing back on this type of thing. And we can see them all over Russia now mobilizing, and especially in Belarus now. We've got a situation there that is very, very detrimental to Putin. The Chinese situation with Hong Kong also. These are this type of popular insurrection that's sort of happening is threatening Putin and his regime, and he's also giving some pushback now, but taking out these people that are in opposition. And I must stress also that Russia is not your North Korea type situation, where you've got this total control over the press and an absolute despotic regime. It's not that. It's certainly tolerated a certain amount of opposition, but as soon as people start going over a certain line that's drawn in the sand over there, this is where the problems come in, and people reach their demise pretty quickly if they step over that line.
I mean, that's on the people side, but I mean the attitude towards other countries around in the neighborhood is no less forgiving.
No, absolutely. But I think we also need to understand, let's put ourselves in the shoes of the Russians for a moment so we can better understand what the problems are. The Russians are tremendously threatened by the West. I think they have a right to be threatened, certainly coming out of the Second World War. They lost a tremendous amount of people in putting down Nazi Germany, 20 million people, and they look to the West with absolute distrust. And it's a sincere distrust. And in many ways, one can sympathize with that if you put yourself in their shoes. Now, after the demise of the Soviet Union, a lot of those former territories that were Russian, the Russians were guaranteed that these territories would remain neutral. What happened was NATO started to encroach on these territories. Poland, the former Yugoslavia, all those type of territories started to join NATO. And the Russians drew a line over the Ukraine. And Putin turned around and said, the Ukraine is not going to go and join NATO. And that's where this present conflict is here. It's where Ukraine is being torn between the West and the East, with the Russians trying to make sure that it doesn't join NATO and there's a further encroachment towards Russian territory. So we have to understand it in those terms, that there's a contested space, a contested territorial space on the Russian borders, which they are vehemently trying to defend by destabilizing the regimes around them and that type of thing. So if we can understand it in those terms, we can see where they're going with it.
Yeah. Where does Russia stand in terms of its global, you know, we know it's a scary place. We know it's a very large place. We know Putin is a master politician. But are they the superpower that we need to fear?
Well, economically, certainly not. I think its economy is smaller than Italy. So economically, right, it's certainly not a superpower, but it holds one of the largest stores of nuclear weapons. It's a nuclear threat to anybody that tries to take it on. It has a huge military, a very competent military. It has a huge armaments industry that supplies a lot of the third world with their arms. It's certainly a player. We've seen in Syria, just when we thought that Russia didn't have a role to play in that area, we saw them retrieve the situation for Assad in Syria. Quite a scary prospect that. And they've got a lot of influence through their cyber warfare. Interestingly enough, a long history on that also. It's called Maskirovka, which is their doctrine of deception, which is a military doctrine. It's actually written into their military, where they try to spread disinformation and interference on a strategic level into other people's countries. A lot of people talk about Brexit, where they say the Russians had a hand in Brexit. The Basque separatists, the USA elections. I mean, that's a big one. Relations with Hungary, removing, distancing Turkey away from NATO. I mean, these are all Russian inspired, deception, type moves that have destabilized a lot of the areas in the West. They're certainly a threat on that type of level, on the cyber warfare type level, on the military level. Economically, they're going backwards. And
is there anybody that can hold them accountable?
Well, that's a good question. The Americans have tried to institute sanctions, and that hasn't really worked. That hasn't slowed them down. The Chinese are a big threat to the Russians. The Chinese are a very, very big threat to Russians. Not only are the Chinese a rising superpower, they've got this massive population. 2 billion, over 2 billion people, where Russia's got a very, very small population for the territory that it controls. It only has 130 million Russians over this vast territory with a huge border, with China. So I think China will start playing a role and start dominating over the Russians also. They have that huge problem also, is that, they have this dominant power, rising power on their borders. So you can see that the Russians are quite threatened on all fronts. And that's some of the reason for what they're doing.
Interesting. The other story that seems to have broken overnight, and I'd be interested in your response to it, Kim Jong-un reportedly in a coma as his sister Kim Yo-jong takes control. North Korean dictator Kim Jong-un has fallen into a coma. A former South Korean official is claiming, on the heels of reports that the northern leader had ceded over some of his powers to his younger sister. Well, I would imagine it's all of his powers if he is in a coma. Shang Song-min, a former aide to late South Korean president, has alleged that the Hermit Kingdom's honcho has become seriously ill amid speculation about his health, about his limited public appearances, and that's been reported.
Strangely enough, this is not the first time we heard about
this. Yeah, we heard about this earlier in the year. We thought that, that there was rumors that he was dead, in fact.
And then he went missing for a few weeks and nothing came of it.
Then
he made an appearance.
Yeah, and so then I'll say that I assess him to be in a coma, but his life has not ended. That's according to South Korean media. So what does this mean to the destabilization, perhaps, of the region?
I'm not 100% sure about whether a new person is going to be able to affect any sort of type of changes in that regime. I think that regime is there for the near future, definitely. Mm. It's just going to be another one of those despotic dictators that takes over from him.
And from everything we read, she could be actually a lot worse than he is.
Well, certainly it's a ruthless regime. I mean, that's a regime that stands alone, separate from everything else that we know about. I mean, I don't know if you've watched a couple of documentaries and how scary it is to even go on a tour of that place.
Scary.
Warmbier being, you remember that guy Warmbier that got taken out by
the
that
Jewish guy
regime.
He eventually died back in America,
touring around that country. So I don't know what we can expect over there. That's a volatile situation. They certainly have nuclear weapons. They are a threat. They are a threat to Japan. They are a threat to South Korea. They are a threat to the region. And there can be a lot of trouble in that region because of the whole destabilizing area. Once these regimes start to be threatened, they start to look for outside influences to divert the population within and strengthen that situation.
Really, so, it doesn't sound unfamiliar at all. It's foreign forces, according to part of the ANC playbook. Look outside of yourself. Look back towards apartheid to blame them. Blame apartheid for corruption. It's absolutely standard. You look to blame Israel for the for all sorts of human rights abuses when in fact you have abused your own people back home, but you don't hold yourself accountable. It's the oldest trick in the book, unfortunately.
It's a tactic, a well-known tactic, is to divert people's attention by creating an enemy. I mean, the Jews in Germany suffered very, very heavily from that type of tactic. That stands as an example for all to see, which we should have learned from, which a lot of people don't learn from, is that, yes, look to a minority or an outside intervention and blame that for the ills that are happening within the country. All too easy to do that, but very, very dangerous in the long term. We see it in America, Howard. You can't leave them out. We see them right now. We see Trump looking for internal enemies to distract people and external enemies to distract people. It's just a terrible tactic that people resort to.
Divide and conquer, I guess.
The Russians are masters at this, I must tell you. It's something that they are better than the rest of the world. We must recognize that. When you ask me whether they are a superpower, are they something to be reckoned with? Certainly. Because of their deception is way ahead. They're way ahead of the curve on how to use deception, within their own country and outside of their own country. So certainly they pose a threat to that. And they are masters of diverting attention away within their own country to their current problems. And certainly in other countries, you can see them making inroads.
Yeah. Frightening situation indeed. Major David Katz, that's where we leave it. It is 8:52. I'm Howard Feldman. Good morning.